The Burt Show.
We got to talk about this because it's Championship Monday when it comes to Zaddies.
All the single daddies, we put a bracket up.
All right, we're honoring dads, even though yesterday was Father's Day, still honoring fathers.
Yeah, so our Zaddy Bracket Championship is set. The remaining two hot single dads who are vying for a little dating game action after this is done. We're going to try to hook one of the dads up with an eligible bachelorette so they can go out on a date. So our final two Zaddies going head to head. Zaddy number three, Ian. And Zaddy number seven, Drew. So if you remember, Ian was the little salt and pepper in the beard, mirror selfie, wearing the nice suit. And then Drew, we couldn't decide if he was or was not wearing pants, which may have attributed to him advancing to the finals.
I
but
think
he has
so.
A shirtless selfie laying down on a bed and giving you the eyes.
Ian gives for me like the one hot professor in college. Then you're like, I'm not missing that class.
That's so funny because I had a professor that me and my sorority, we had the same class like a semester apart. And every time we would see him out, I can't remember what his last name was, but we'll say his last name was like Smith. We would say, oh my God, I just saw Daddy Smith across campus. And he does kind of look like him.
Yeah. And Drew there, I mean, had me at living on a houseboat.
Yes.
I mean, that's tough to beat.
Wait, who needs pants in that?
Right.
That scene, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you're on a houseboat, you're
don't
on a
need no pants.
All right, so you can vote today, and tomorrow we have crowned our winner, correct?
That is correct. So you vote now at theburtshow.com, click on the Zaddy bracket, and then we will announce our champion Zaddy tomorrow.
All right, Kristen, how far are you going to take this this nosiness?
Oh, so far.
So far.
Yeah, it's just, it's, maybe this is my hobby.
TV and being nosy?
Yes.
Not bad.
Being nosy is my hobby. All right, I got to witness a Karen in the wild.
Whoa.
And it was all I could ever ask for. So I'm not going to disclose the establishment because I am going to protect them. But I was somewhere over the weekend and you had to be there at a certain time. If you were not there at a certain time, then you literally missed the boat. Okay. So, we got done with what we were doing and we were about to leave, but I was taking a really long time to do something with my son. I was putting something on his shirt. I was giving him like a little pin and I was putting on it real, real slow because I was eavesdropping like a mofo with what was happening at the front desk, right? Where you check in.
Yeah.
So I had missed the first part, but my friends that I went with, we had like a little debrief afterwards because they got the first half of the conversation and I got the second half of the conversation. So this woman was very upset that they did not wait for her and her daughter and they left her behind, okay? And she was talking to the woman who was there and she's like, I need to speak to somebody who's more senior than you. She's pulling like the classic Karen move. She's like, I need to speak to somebody who's higher than you, who's more senior than you. I need to speak to somebody who is in charge. Like that's the Karen ask.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I am the most senior person here. I can get you the name of the gentleman because she's like, she basically wanted the person who owns the place because that's who she wanted to speak to as high as it could possibly go.
And she wasn't going to be happy until she was going straight to the top.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And according to my friend, they were offering her a refund, but she was like, no, you should have waited. I can't believe you left me behind. Blah, 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 blah. Now, to each person's credit, she wasn't screaming. She wasn't yelling. Like, she and the woman who worked there at this establishment were being pretty respectful. But the Karen was forceful. Like, she was adamant and she was forceful. And I think she was getting amped because the other woman was just unbothered. The other woman was just like, you know, yeah, I'm sorry. We can't hold up 15 other people because you were late. And it just kind of...
People hate when you use common sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you know these people that know that I'm getting paid either way.
Yeah.
So if you want to argue with me, I'm getting paid the same as if this was an easy day.
And it was very much giving entitlement. There was no doubt about it. So again, I'm off to the side and I'm just like taking my sweet time putting this sticker or pin on Jimmy's shirt and just trying to eavesdrop, because I had to stall because the woman said, if you don't get somebody, like if you don't get somebody higher than you, I'm going to call 911.
Oh, come on. Oh, okay.
Yes. So she was threatening to call 911. I'm assuming to get the authorities out there to complain that they did not wait for her to do this event.
So you would hear the audio.
I want to hear the phone call so bad. So I'm sitting there and I can't stall anymore. And she is, and again, all of this is transpiring in front of kids. Okay. So, but nobody's like screaming or yelling, but the threat of night, and the woman was like, all right. She's like, I don't know what they're going to do, but if you want to call the cops to come out here, like for sure. So I've done some digging.
Okay.
And I know the county. I know because I have the date. I have the exact time all this went down, because you need the date, the exact time, the county, all that stuff. And you can file to get that 911 audio release because it's public domain. So do I?
Yes.
Yes.
Waste my time?
Absolutely.
Yes. This is not a waste of time. Yes. This is a public service announcement.
Okay.
It is unanimous.
All right. I will go to said county's sheriff's department today, their website, and I will put in a request for the 911 audio. If she did, because at that point we exited stage left. So she was threatening to make the call. But if I'm picking up the vibe, she called.
I can't wait.
That's cool.
It's
cool.
It's Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
When did you screw up so badly at work that you didn't even need to go into the boss's office because you knew how bad you screwed up? He knew how bad you screwed up. So why even have a meeting about it? Okay. So there's a dude out in LA right now. He is the helicopter reporter for Fox 11 in Los Angeles. And they're having themselves some protests out there in Los Angeles right now over ICE and the No Kings protests also. Well, he's the one that goes in the helicopter and he reports back to the TV station everything that's going on and is reporting, right? So here's audio from him on the helicopter, and I'm still unclear if this is on the air and it's a live mic and he does it and he's talking to somebody else on the helicopter, or if he is doing a live stream on YouTube, okay? But there's a lot of serious stuff going on the ground in Los Angeles.
You know what? I don't care. I am married. I am legally married. I am legally married. That's about the only way you can really say it. But I am not looking at now at all. I just had a bunch of debacles with my personal life. Yes, it's true. I know. It's hard to believe. I got nothing right now. Got nothing. Not really looking. Trying to find myself and be happy. I'm being serious about that. I want to be beholden to no one at this moment. You know, do I get lonely? Of course. But I got cats.
What? That's my internal monologue.
So that got broadcast?
Yes. All right. So he's not done. This is just a really quick clip. Either somebody in the helicopter or somebody online. Again, I'm unclear on exactly what this is. Someone says, dude, you drunk?
Yes, I love bourbon. I do. I do love the bourbon. I love the whiskey. Love the bourbon. Love the gin. Love the gin. Oh, man, there it goes again. All right, kids. We're making our way to Torrance.
There it is.
My man is going through it. What is happening?
It's like that clip out of Anchorman, right? Where he's like, what does he say when he's sipping?
Oh, scotch. I love scotch.
Except this is real life, man.
That is crazy.
All right, so let me get you caught up with what happened in New York this weekend, because I went up there with the intent of telling my mom that, hey, I want to let you know I forgive you for the past. I'm moving on, right? I have held this resentment because my mom was not very good at mommy for my entire life. My dad, well, he wasn't good at dadding either. But I told you guys on Friday or on Thursday that I just, you know what, it's just different. It's been the way that my dad passed away and how I took care of him when he had dementia and a whole bunch of other things has been so different than the way that I've handled it with my mom. because I knew with my dad, I knew what his family history was. I knew what he was all about. And I confessed to you guys on Thursday, I just kind of feel like there's a little gender discrimination going on here also. Like, you know, he was a dude born in the 50s or what have you. And I was almost like making, you know, like excuses for him. Like, you know, it's a guy. Priority wasn't family or whatever. But moms, come on. It's maternal instinct should be different, right? So my mom has dementia and she's living up in New York City. And I have been holding on to so much resentment that over these years, and I joke about it a lot. And I also told you guys last week that I don't really feel stress. I compartmentalize, I put my head down, I get through it, and then I don't feel it. Like, it doesn't really bum me out. I don't give myself a lot of time to be bummed about things. So I just move on. Well, that's easy to say, but you know, the old saying that your body keeps score. My body's starting to break down. All these gadgets that I have are telling me I can't sleep right. And there's just some stuff going on that every therapist I go to, be it a sleep doctor or a therapist, psychologist, I don't know, whatever, they're all saying, man, you haven't even dealt with all the stuff that you had in your past, even though I thought I had, right? They're like, you haven't really been authentic about it. You're holding on to so much, which I really do tend to do. Even outside of this relationship with my parents, if somebody wrongs me, I hold on to it. I hold on to it. And at any point in the day, when I get a spark of a memory about it, I get fired up about it. I just can't let things go, right? So in order for me to be healthy, I really felt that I had to, I don't want to say confront my mom. I needed to go to New York and really believe, and I think I have an understanding now, that she really did the best that she did. She could. She grew up in a messed up family also, but, you know, maybe the fact that she did give me and my two brothers up to their fathers also was the best she could do. Maybe she realized back in the day, like, I suck at this. So, and I don't want to jack these kids up. So maybe I'll just give them to that. Maybe that was her thinking, you know? So she did. She gave us all up. And when I went out to California, my mom stopped talking to me for 10 years. And then after that, it was kind of a relationship out of convenience. And that leaves a lot of scars.
And you were young.
Super young.
And that's, there's no way for a kid to fully comprehend. I think you said you were like seven or something.
7 to 17 or 18. Just no contact at all, right? I did find out years later that at least she said that she sent cards and I never saw those cards, and I would not put it past my dad to just build this narrative with me where he didn't want me connected to my mom at all. Different conversation for a different time, but that is definitely my dad's MO right there. So anyway, I went up there just to say, hey, I want to let you know that I really believe that you did the best you could. That was my intent. So I get to her memory care facility, and I get up to the floor, and man, I don't know anybody that likes going through this experience at all, because everybody that's in there is clearly not healthy. As I walked in, I could see my mom's head. She was in the sofa that was facing the television, and there were like four other senior citizens that were facing me, and they were in bad shape, really bad shape. And I couldn't, I was starting to brace myself, and this is all happening so quickly. I was starting to brace myself for the worst when I was going to see my mom. So I took a big old breath and I walked right into the room and I stood in front of her and I said, hi. Man, I got to tell you guys, she immediately lit up. Big old smile on her face. She knew exactly who I was. She was shocked, but surprised in the best way. Like, Bert, I didn't know you were coming. Well, you don't know anything, Ma. but I didn't know you were coming. This is great. And it's the first time I've ever really seen her, I think, light up this much. So we hugged and then we sat down for a couple of minutes and I started scrolling through some pictures that I had of me and my family and my life just to bring her sort of up to speed. Plus, I don't know if everybody else has this experience, and I'm not very good at it, but I don't know what to do when I'm up there.
Mm.
I mean, you can't really have conversations. She doesn't really want to do anything except sit in front of that TV, and she's just gotten really, really quiet. So I don't know how long these visits are supposed to last, but and it's a one-sided conversation also. Mm. It's a narration more than anything else. So about midway through, I said to her, and you know what, Mom? I just really want to say something here and I didn't know the words that were going to really come out of my mouth at this point. And I thanked her. I said, I really want to thank you for doing the best you could. So she was a little bit taken back by it. And she looked at me and she said, I really did. But then she asked a really strange question that gave me some insight. Because even though she's clearly not here, she's still got some demons that are deep in the soul. So she said, do your brothers think so also?
Wow, that's an interesting question.
Really interesting question, right? So I said to her, I got to be honest with you, Mom, I don't know. We don't have a lot of contact with each other. So I don't know I do know how they feel. They absolutely don't think that she did the best. And they are still reeling from the scars, the emotional scars that giving both of them up the way she did. And one of my brothers was out of the worst movie you've ever seen, what she did to him. And he's still not over it, not completely over it. So I couldn't answer honestly.
No, I think you handled that right, because that's not your story to relay.
Right.
That's for them if they want to.
Exactly. So I said that to her, and that's what she said. And I think I did follow up with her, and I said, is that important to you? And then she said, I don't really think about it a lot.
Okay.
Huh.
So I don't know if that's true or not. I mean, why would that be the first question, right? So I'm going through again, and I'm going through all of the pictures, and I'm sharing my life with her. And I don't really give myself a lot of credit or really stay in the moment for the things that are going on in my life that are good. That's another way that I just kind of like, this is my life, and I'm kind of moving on with it. But then as I was scrolling through the pictures that I saved, and I saved her a folder of all these pictures over the last year, I'm like, dang, I've done some pretty cool things. Right? First, I showed her the pictures of her youngest grandson, and I had to keep reminding her of who he was, and her oldest grandson graduating high school and college and birthdays. And then I showed her the Radio Hall of Fame nomination, and then I showed her Bert's Big Adventure and the kids from this year also. And then I showed her the picture from the airport. And as she was sitting there taking it all in, I was kind of taking it all in also, like really going like, dang, we've done some stuff.
It's been a good year and you're only halfway through.
It's been a good year. It's been a good career, right? And I don't know why she said this, but she said to me, she looked me right in the eyes, and out of nowhere she goes, you know, you've always really been a very happy kid. And I didn't really know how to process that either. I didn't know what that meant. And she said, you've always had a lot of friends and you've always been a really happy kid. So I took that in. I don't really know what she meant by it. And I kept scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and telling her about my life. And then after about an hour, that was over. And there was nothing really, there was nothing left to talk about. So we just wanted to sit there and we wanted to watch Jeopardy. So we're sitting there watching Jeopardy. And I said to her, do you watch this every day? And she said, no, I don't live here. So she doesn't even know she lives there. And the one piece of humor out of this whole thing that really happened was...
And you have to find it, man.
I found it. It found me. So as we were all watching Jeopardy together, and I'm trying to guess some of the answers, and there's nobody else in there that knows any of the answers, but I'm starting to get competitive with myself. And I'm also starting
Are you getting competitive with the senior citizens?
No, I'm starting to flex for my mom. Like, I know something, right? But there was one dude that was sitting two seats away that when Ken Jennings would go to give the answer, right before he gave the answer, this dude would say, shut up! So I never heard any of the answers. And it was bothering me so much. So at the end of the whole time, I gave her like this really big hug. She hugged me more or harder than she has on any visit before. And she said that she loved me, and she was the one that said that first. And I really thought to myself at that moment, and I've heard this cliche so much that, you know, forgiveness is really for you, but I really feel like even though she doesn't really know what's going on right now, there's something in her soul that was satisfied by me sitting down and telling her that I'm acknowledging that you did the best that you could. And I think that's what that smile and hug and that I love you was at the very end of it. Mm-mm.
She was satisfied. Were you satisfied with the visit?
Very.
Good.
Very. Because I really have felt like with my dad, every step of the way, I was using that guiding light of just do what's right. Forget about your feelings. Do what's right. And that's what I have done with my mom. This was the best I could give for my mom. So now I feel a lightness about it. And I felt it immediately.
Good.
That's good.
I'm happy for you, man.
Thank you. It's The Burt Show.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Stephen A. Smith is going viral after getting caught in a lie about something he was doing while on the clock. This is so funny to me. So Mo actually sent me this tweet that shows somebody from behind and above Stephen A. Smith while he's, of course, on the clock doing his job for ESPN at the NBA Finals. And he's on his phone. He has his phone in front of him. And he clearly has solitaire in front of him. And the tweet says, Stephen A. locked in on solitaire during the NBA Finals. And then Stephen A. Smith quotes that tweet and says, yep, that's me. Who would have thought? I can multitask, especially during timeouts. Mm-hmm. Hope y'all are enjoying the NBA Finals. This is going 7 games now, peeps. And then this is the funny part, because if you go on X/Twitter, sometimes they will add additional context because, you know, people lie on the internet.
Nah.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Just thought it happened.
What? It's just recent. Like
yeah,
yesterday?
Yeah, like yesterday. Yeah.
It's new. It's like the new pandemic going around. People lying on the internet. So there's this little box right below the tweet, and the headline says, readers added context they thought people might want to know. And then the added context says, Stephen A. is lying. This photo was taken during gameplay, not during a timeout.
And they have video proof to literally, you can see the camera pan from Stephen A. Smith to the actual court, and you can clearly see that it is not a timeout, and he lied about it. And to me, that's what made it a big deal. I think if he would have played it off and said, guys, I ain't gonna lie, I needed a break, it wouldn't have looked as bad. But when you get paid millions of dollars to literally watch a basketball game, that is your job. All you have to do is watch the game, and then you get on these airwaves in front of millions of people and analyze this game and analyze what you saw, and you get caught clearly lying about watching solitaire during the game you're supposed to be analyzing. I actually think that's a big deal.
And of all the games to be playing on your phone, the most basic, boring,
right?
Pull a Candy Crush or something.
I mean, something.
Temple Run.
And you needed a break from what?
That's true.
You just have to pay attention for one game.
So Stephen A. Smith, I just Googled it. Because if I'm ESPN, I'm really upset. Stephen A. Smith signed a 5-year, $100 million contract with ESPN. This new deal will pay him $20 million per year, a significant increase from his previous $12 million annual salary. So it wasn't that long ago where dude was renegotiating his contract. He renegotiates, and this is what he's doing at games.
And hundreds of people got laid off from ESPN for him, for them to make room for him to make that amount of money on that contract, and you are so bored at an NBA Finals game that you had to pull out solitaire.
There's so many other better games to be playing than solitaire.
So the other day I'm in the car with my wife Renee, and this old song called Solitaire comes on, and I just say out of the blue, you know, I never learned how to play solitaire. And my wife is like, what? Like that was I hadn't breathed air before. Is there something that you got, and this is something I want you to think about, maybe we could do it sometime, maybe tomorrow. What's something that you don't know how to do that everybody else does know how to do?
No, that's easy for me. I can't snap.
You can't snap?
I can't snap. I do this.
I can't drive a car without getting into a crash.
I can't
prove
whistle.
Prove it again this week.
Oh,
you can't whistle.
Right.
I can't whistle. I think whistling is pretty popular.
Well, that was quick.
You ride a bike?
Yes, I can ride a bike. I can't do a cartwheel.
Oh, I can't do a cartwheel either.
I got to. You got to prove this. And when we got a break in the hallway.
No, yeah, we've done this before. I cannot do a cartwheel.
You also can't eat healthy.
Dude, that's crazy. I went camping this weekend. I spent $105 on junk food.
I'm shot for.
Are you still taking the shot?
I'm supposed to. I didn't take it yesterday.
He's now,
most people
right
don't know
through.
What shot you're talking about.
I take like an Ozempic type shot. It's Mounjaro.
Mounjaro.
Yeah.
You're spending money on that, and you're still spending money on your gym membership?
Yeah, but, you know, you,
and $105
you take a
food.
Shot with a nice Swiss roll chaser.
Okay. Oh, Thomas, Owen.
Right. Oh, my God. That's anyway, I wanted to ask the guys a quick question, because I saw this thing on social media about NFL players' weddings, and I did notice this because there were two pretty prominent NFL weddings in the last couple of weeks. The first one was Josh Allen and Haley Steinfeld. Beautiful wedding, if you haven't seen the photos. What? And then also Jalen Hurts apparently got married for a second time to the same woman. Mm-hmm. I guess they had a second wedding. Photos of that just came out. But I saw some people notice the same thing about both of their weddings, and that typically for a wedding, you will have a specific color scheme. Like, you know, people like to do pastels or like fall colors, depending on when they get married. But for both of their weddings, they did an all white color scheme. So like all white flowers, all white runners for the actual wedding. And people say that NFL players do that because they don't want to show any kind of allegiance to any other team other than like the ones that they play for.
Unless
you're having like Eagles colors for your wedding, you gotta go all white.
That makes some sense.
That makes perfect sense.
But I'm like, just choose pink. There's no NFL team with pink.
True.
Yeah, you could go with pink, but any other color, because it could be your rival's colors. Uh-huh. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
Huh.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, right? That's
the
thing.
For more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
Get it. The Burt Show.